Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kyle. He's James. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. I'm back from the Amazon, where I apparently got veneers and a neck tattoo.
That's right.
Salute. I had a great trip.
I did not have that.
Little day trip to the Amazon.
I did not have that as one of the many things that I said you may have been doing yesterday.
What were your guesses?
D'Lo and Casey asked me what I was getting Jay-Z for his birthday, and I may have told them that I sent you out to go shopping for our co-gift for Jay-Z to find the perfect gift, and that might have been why you missed yesterday.
Okay.
I also may have said that you had to wash your cat, so you weren't here.
Yep.
Yeah, that may have happened.
Yeah. Everybody gives their cat a bath.
We had a lot of different reasons why Kyle wasn't here.
I love that.
I think Jesse had a good one, too.
I'll ask Jesse.
I can't remember.
Someone says the wrong thing. We're fighting. Kent V wants to know where to get an Insider's hoodie. You got to win it right here on this program.
That's right.
You go to ESPN1320.com. You go to the contest page and you enter the keyword that we give you after a Kings game, which will be tomorrow because the Kings play tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. We have a lot to talk about. 11 o'clock, Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, 49ers beat writer and columnist and author of this book, The Franchise, the San Francisco 49ers, A Curated History of the Faithful. I just started digging in last night. It's terrific. If you have a 49ers fan in your life and you're looking for a Christmas gift for them, get them this book. It's a lot of fun.
There you go.
I'm mad for two reasons.
Okay.
Right before the show started, we get an email that we also have some breaking sports news that we'll get to in a moment. We get this email. Now, we have a holiday party tonight.
Yeah.
Our company holiday party.
From 3 to 6.
Yep. They sent out multiple, like, virtual flyers, digital flyers, that said, date, time, place, bring a gift for a white elephant gift exchange. And I said, bet. I go to the store, I'm walking around, I find the perfect thing. And I go, this is a great white elephant gift. Wrap it up, bang. Bring it to work today. Went through the whole rigmarole of wrapping it yesterday. I wrapped it nice. I love wrapping Christmas presents.
Okay.
I wrapped it nice with my new wrapping paper that I got this year. I'm very excited about it. Double-sided, not to brag. And I bring it to work today, and I'm really fired up for this white elephant gift exchange. And we get an email this morning that says, no need to bring a white elephant gift. One will be provided for you.
So, I got to be honest. I missed all the emails about a white elephant gift.
It wasn't an email. It was in the chat.
Okay.
The G chat thing.
So, I don't even have... I did not go get a gift.
Sure.
So...
I don't think it was a requirement.
I was surprised when I looked and I'm like, oh, it's a white elephant gift party. I didn't know. That's my bad.
No, it's okay. Apparently, me and Justin Case from 96.9 The Eagle were the only people who decided, oh, hey, white elephant gift exchange. Yeah, we'll get gifts. So, salute to Justin. He's going to get my gift, and I'm going to get his. Mm. We're doing our own gift exchange. Shout out to him.
Okay.
I don't even mind. I don't even mind the idea of like, yeah, hey, we're going to have some white elephant gifts provided. in the event that people didn't bring them, which, like, fine. But why wouldn't just advertise the gift exchange or be like, hey, we're planning to buy gifts for everybody, so just don't worry about it. That's all.
All right.
Let me know.
No, I'm...
Let me know so I don't drop $25 on the thing that I bought.
I know.
It's a rice cooker. I'm really fired up about it. He likes it.
What's the best white elephant gift you've ever got?
Oh, that's a great question.
I gave one gift one time that was spectacular, and I received one at a party that was spectacular.
I feel like this doesn't really count.
Okay.
Because the company I used to work for, the guy who owned the company was very generous with gifts. And so he let everybody know, hey, we're doing a white elephant gift exchange, but don't worry, I got it.
Okay.
Let us all know. I got a pair of Beats headphones at this gift exchange.
Okay.
That was probably the best one. And dude, there were like Bluetooth speakers. There was like an iPad or like courtside seats to a Suns game. It was crazy. It was insane.
Now the bar has been set. I'm expecting all of this.
Well, at this place, yeah. When I worked there, shout out to Stretch Internet. I'll shout them out. I don't think the company exists anymore, or they got sold. But yeah, when I worked there, hell yeah, dude. That was, everybody's like, hey, Christmas party, let's go. Can't wait to see what we get. And then every year he would get like a new Nike, either like polo or quarter zip for us.
Oh yeah,
it was really dope. Really liked working there. So yeah, Beats by Dre headphones for my best gift.
I miss the bags of clothes I would get from NBC. I do.
Oh yeah.
Every year I get like 3 jackets. I probably have like 8 jackets.
I'm the lame-o that loves company swag.
Oh yeah.
I know that this is an Odyssey vest. It was given to me by Charlie. I have an Odyssey backpack.
But that's a North Face vest.
Nice vest.
And the bag is an OGO bag.
Nice bag.
Yeah, they're very nice. They're very nice. So my favorite gift that I ever, favorite white elephant gift, I gave the shake weight. It was a hit.
I bet.
Especially since the guy who got it really didn't understand the gag and just thought it was like an amazing workout gift that he was going to use. And
he
proceeded
just fired up about it?
To use the shake weight, much like they do on the commercial.
I love this for him.
I was like,
no, hey, caution to the wind, man. Hell yeah.
I can't believe this is happening.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that. And then one time at a white elephant gift giveaway party, I got the Borat fluorescent green sling, which I proceeded to go into the restroom and change into.
No, I didn't need that. Okay, party's over. I didn't need any of that. That's... I have nightmares about this now.
There it is.
Good God. So, one time, this is the last thing, and then we'll get to our breaking sports news. I was invited, this is in college, early in college. I was home for the holidays, and one of my friends from home invited me to their house. And they said, hey, do you want to come over for a party? We're doing a gift exchange if you want to bring something. Now, when a 21-year-old, 20, 21, 22, however old we were, I don't remember, says, hey, do you want to come over for a party? That to me says a party of our friends, okay. 20, 21, 22-year-olds. So I go, yeah, I'm going to get a really funny gift. I'm not going to say what it was because I can say it on the radio, but it's a little bit inappropriate.
Okay.
I'll say it at the break at youtube.com/ESPN1320. I'll say it on the stream. I'm not going to say it on the radio, though. So I go and I buy this gift, and while I'm in the process of buying this gift, I'm like, you know what? Let me just make sure that this is the kind of party I think it is. And so right before I went to check out, I call my friend and I said, hey, what kind of party is this? And she's like, oh, it's a bunch of my family. Yeah, it's like all my little cousins and stuff. Whew, the relief that washed over me that I made that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up getting, I forget what I ended up getting. It was like hot chocolate and a coffee mug or something. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was.
You backed away from that ledge.
Boy.
That was a close one,
Kyle.
I sure
did. It was. Thank God. All right. Let's talk about sports. We'll have some Kings Grizzlies to get to. I want to talk about Mike Brown challenging De'Aaron Fox, and I've also got some thoughts from Rockets Kings that I didn't get to yesterday because I was having veneers put in down in the Amazon. Some breaking news this morning from ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Right-handed pitcher Luis Severino and the Sacramento A's are in agreement on a 3-year, $67 million contract. Sources tell ESPN, it is the largest guarantee in the history of the A's franchise, and even with the qualifying offer attached, Severino got well over market expectations.
I don't believe you.
Passing continues, Severino's deal with the A's includes an opt-out after the second season. The A's went into this winter seeking pitching, and they get one of the best on the market in Severino, whose career earnings now top $130 million. Free agent pitching prices remain high.
I don't believe you, Kyle.
Yeah, it's...
I mean,
like great. They needed, let's put aside the weirdness that is the Athletics. They needed players who could get people out consistently. Their inability to get outs last year was a huge reason they won, 68 games, 69 games, 70 games, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was a reason they weren't very good is because they just didn't have the horses up front. I don't think Luis Severino is a number one starter at this point in his career, especially since he's going to be 31 by the time the game starts, but by the time the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
He had an injury in 2020. He only pitched 4 games in 2021. Bounced back with a really good year in 22. Wasn't as good in 23, and then was fine last year. He's a good player last year. It is fascinating to me that the A's have now decided to spend money. Like now they do it?
Okay. Fascinating is like one word. It's
I'm going to choose to use.
It's just horrible. It's horrible that for so many years, the A's have just been the cheapest franchise in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And like, what was their payroll last year? Like $47 million?
Less than what they're going to pay Luis Severino for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the funny thing about this is they're spending money. They're spending on a 31-year-old starting pitcher who had a 3.91 ERA last year and 31 starts.
Yeah,
like, he's a good player.
He's instantly their number one,
which is
telling.
Which isn't great.
Yeah.
The question for me is, okay, that's nice. You go get Luis Severino. Are you ever going to be in the mix for somebody better than that?
Mm.
Would they have been in the mix if Luis Severino was a 25-year-old coming off an All-Star season?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're not in the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Close. Not even close.
No.
And they're never going to be. So the question to me now comes in, okay, Lawrence Butler comes out and keeps tearing it up. What does that look like down the line?
Yeah, are you even in the Lawrence Butler sweepstakes, right, which is your own player?
Right.
Brent Rooker, like, I don't even think they'll pay his arbitration money.
Yeah, they're not, and apparently they're not going to trade him.
No.
So I don't totally know what's going on there. Shea Langeliers has a breakout season. What does that look? So that's the next step for me. Okay, you can throw some money at free agents, the mid-tier free agents from a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be in the mix for a Shohei Ohtani or a Juan Soto or a Bryce Harper. Pick your favorite. Aaron Judge. Pick your favorite $500 million player.
Mm-hmm.
But they're supplementing now this young roster with a legitimate veteran starter. Okay, that's good. What does this look like in 2 years? What does it look like in 3 years? And if they wind up having 4 or 5 all-star caliber players here, which I think they might, do they keep that group together?
Do you ever pay?
Right.
I mean, I think we're all shocked that they paid right here. Like, this
stunned.
Is, yeah, absolutely. Well, the highest salary before this, probably, I don't know, like in recent years, Chris Davis? That's my guess.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the one where they paid him and then it did not work out at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just stopped being able to be a productive baseball player.
Yeah.
But outside of that, they haven't paid anybody. You know, we had those years where they paid like $10 million a year for, what was it, Country...
Billy Butler.
Yeah, Billy Butler. Country Breakfast, right?
Yes. That's
it's tough. Tough stuff.
Chris Davis received a...
I want to say a 3 or 48.
It was something in that range. It was like a minor commitment. 2 years, 33 and a half was the extension.
Okay.
If I'm reading this correctly. But yeah, no, to your point, 20, what is that? $22 million a year for a starting pitcher? Like,
yeah.
Good for them.
Good it's for good money. Years. I mean, this is a guy who's going to step right into the rotation. And like, look, I think we all know that they're going to have to overpay anybody to come and play in a minor league ballpark for 3 years.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to overpay.
Here's the other thing. Apparently, the way everybody's talking about this, this is way above what Severino was projected to get.
Okay.
So they're overpaying a 31-year-old who's coming off a good season.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
I need that to not be where it ends. That's all. Just don't sign Luis Severino and go, look, we did it. We spent money.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're going to be 28th in payroll now.
Mm-hmm.
Like what can you get to the top 12? Can you get to the top 15?
Can you get to the point
invest,
where
can you invest in player development?
Or maybe where you have an actual pitching staff, like five starters. Because as of right now, they have nobody.
Yeah.
Like they have a couple of young pitchers who did okay last year, and you might be okay with them as your fourth and fifth starters.
Nobody you're super fired up about.
No, there's no one.
No. So, but again, that goes to player development. That goes to scouting.
Yeah, they
can
stopped
you stop taking
for all
light
that.
Hitting shortstops.
Yeah,
in the draft, will you pay if you develop this group, which I talked about it all last year. I am very high on the A's as they come here to Sacramento as a playoff contending team. This is what we see with the A's. This is the cycle. They go through a couple of lean years, and then there's the oh, hey, they're a little better than we expect, and then there's that leap. When those guys take that leap, when Matt Olson and Matt Chapman take that leap together, and Chris Davis is raking, and you've got a bunch of dudes who are getting outs, are you going to pay those guys and keep them around and keep the core together, or are you going to punt? That's my question. It's great that they signed Luis Severino. That's awesome. They open their wallets. Great. I need to see the long-term growth of that, though.
Yep.
So that's what's coming up next. At least for the A's. Not for us. We got Kings to talk about next.
Yeah.
He's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320 on your radio dial. It is ESPN 1320, of course, on the free Odyssey app. We're on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. And you can subscribe to the podcast version of this program. It's called the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. We can't call it the Insiders for legal reasons that go above my head. But the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show is available to download wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I have some Rockets Kings thoughts real quick. And then we'll move on to what Mike Brown said about De'Aaron Fox.
Of course.
Number one. Kings -1.5. I told you that day. And as that game wore on, I was like, here it is, dude. It's the sucker bet. A lot of people lost money on the Rockets +1.5. Happens every damn time.
Vegas got rich off of that deal.
I bet if rich. You went, I bet if you said what, and I know there are places like BetQL.com and some other places will tell you like what percentage of the money is coming in on. I bet a lot of money came in on the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I bet you it was totally lopsided. I mean, that's crazy, to be honest. Absolutely crazy.
Insane. Number two, loved the fight from the Kings. Like, I when that game started to get messy, my first thought was, oh, man, God, don't check out. Don't get punked. And they didn't. They did the punking.
They did.
And I thought that was winning a game against the Rockets. Like, weird stuff happens sometimes. Like the Hawks beat the Celtics without Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, weird stuff like that happens. But that the way they carried themselves through the rest of that game after it started to get chippy was a great, great sign for me.
Yeah,
that
Kyle,
was number two.
When I'm looking at the way that the Kings played in that game, they should be that good. every night.
I agree.
This is who they should be. So for them to beat the Rockets shouldn't be a surprise because they're in the same tier, and they should have been coming into this season a tier above the Rockets.
I agree.
The problem is they got lost in the weeds somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. And so to see them step up in a game where, again, a team came in looking to get under your skin and looking to incite something. And what they did is they got the Kings angry. And the Kings, an angry Kings team, looked like what we expected the Kings to look like.
Yep.
That looked like a playoff team in game 5 or game 6 or game 7 saying, no. No, we're the better team.
Yep.
And it was like, hey, where have you been? Where have you been for the first 21, 22 games of the season?
Yep.
Welcome to the party. Welcome to the 2024-25 NBA season Sacramento Kings.
Right. That was the team we expected to see.
Yep.
Yep. Number three, I have more on what you just said here in a second. Number three, Houston is in danger of getting in their own way and tripping over their own feet here. I think it's one of the problems that Memphis ran into before they ousted Dylan Brooks and before Ja Morant kind of came back and settled in. And it felt like they were more worried about yapping than going out and executing and playing basketball and being better than the opponent.
Yeah, they were into the tough guy lifestyle. But the fake tough guy lifestyle.
Yes.
And it was going nowhere. It doesn't matter how good the record was. It was going nowhere. And then they all bought into it. And then we started having guns on Instagram. And we started having like this, you're the fake tough guys.
And even Dylan Brooks after, in the playoff series against the Lakers, where he was like, I poke bears.
Okay.
Like, that's what you do. No, you should play defense and make shots.
And like watch what like the movie Reverence. Like
you see your job is to poke bears. Like, that's silly. That's outrageous.
Yeah,
Dylan Brooks is a good player.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he's out there that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get under LeBron James' skin. No, maybe don't do that.
How about you Google mauled by bear and just look at the clips that come up, the pictures that come up. It's like, hey, look, it's fine to think that that you're going to be the instigator and all that stuff. But, don't punch above your weight.
That's all.
Like, what are you doing?
That's all.
And that's what he does. He got under De'Aaron Fox's skin. De'Aaron Fox is just flat out a much better player than Dylan Brooks. Yep. And he's a much better player at this point than any other player that the Rockets have. Yep. And he just gave it to him.
Yep.
Like, oh, look at this. You're gonna do that. Okay. We're going to beat you then.
Yeah. That's the risk you run. That's the risk you run. You might take a guy out of the game. You might get under his skin to the point that, hey, you know what, man, he's just not himself. He's chucking threes and he's taking bad shots and he's fouling and yeah, we got him. But then you run the risk of De'Aaron Fox going, all right, you got it.
Yep.
And just being the best player on the court.
Yeah, and Malik Monk doing the same thing. Even the whole scuffle thing that happens where
that was weird.
Emi Udoka is going off on the official. And I the slowdown, I need to see the Seinfeld Zapruder film where...
Well, the Zapruder film's Zapruder a real thing.
Well, I know it is. But the Seinfeld one where...
Keith Hernandez
may or not have spit on
you say
Kramer,
you were
right?
Struck on the right temple.
If you look at the video of Alperen Şengün walking over the top of the official, it sure does look like he spits on the top of the official's head. Like, he was angry, and either that or he said a very not okay word, and he leaned down and, right at the official.
Dang.
And then to watch Malik Monk go over, and I think Tari Eason knocked the ball out of his hands. Malik Monk runs over, scrambles, grabs the ball. Tari Eason scrambles. Malik Monk's like, oh, we got these fools.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, yeah, this is fun. We got these fools.
Yeah, that the Kings didn't let it take them out of their game.
No.
And they were clearly like, these guys. okay. I thought that was great.
Well, that, and I think there's going to be carryover. Like, these teams play a couple more times this season. There's going to be carryover from that game.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you. And they were, they're fighting for positioning in the in-season tournament,
mm-hmm.
The NBA Cup, I think that's what we decided.
The Emirates NBA Cup.
Yeah. Yes, the Rockets are fighting for position, mm-hmm. and the Kings are like, haha, no,
yeah,
we're gonna mess with you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
it's just fantastic. On the subject of, well, we'll get to, you know what, we'll get to Mike Brown in a little bit. I want to get to what Mike Brown said about De'Aaron Fox. I know you guys touched on it yesterday, but I have a lot of thoughts on it because I think it's really, really interesting that the coach came out and openly challenged his star player like that, in that way. And we'll get to why here in a bit. Also going on tonight, we have an excellent Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty rare that I'm like, hey, I can't wait to watch Thursday night football. Packers at Lions tonight should be a ton of fun because this is a little bit atypical for a Thursday night game. We've had some good matchups this year, some interesting matchups for sure. But this is a Thursday night game where both teams have had a full week. Usually it's the short week, right? It's just haphazard and it's slapdash. Yeah. And you see, you don't always see great football. But because both of those teams played on Thanksgiving, they both now had a full week.
Oh, okay.
Between their Thursday games.
The league needs to do a better job of doing this.
Yes.
Matching up where teams that are on bye weeks play the early week or they, you know, like they play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. This is the time of year. Well, first of all, here, let me ask you this. Do you feel like Green Bay is a contender right now?
I personally don't.
Okay.
I think that they're really close. They're on the cusp. I think that there are probably five contenders right now. And that's being the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Lions, and the Eagles. Hmm. And then after that, like, I think there are some good teams. And I would put the Packers in the same that I put, like, the Texans. You know, that kind of group. And, like, they're really good teams. But I don't fear them. I mean, they're above like the Commanders that are just coming into their own or whoever survives the NFC West or the NFC South. They're above those teams. But I don't think that they're in the full on contender like bucket.
I think they could get there. I'm with you. I don't buy it today.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go out and look awesome tonight against the Lions, I'm gonna feel a little bit differently because this is a time of year where teams start to separate themselves. Those teams in that tier that you're talking about I got to see more. This is where you can see more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Green Bay's been a little bit up and down. You go and you look and they've had three good wins in a row, but they blocked a field goal to beat the Bears. And then they beat the heck out of a really depleted Niners team. And then good win against Miami, but Miami has historically struggled a little bit in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not fully buying them yet, but they've inched up closer. Do you buy them more than the Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
I do too.
I mean, they're right there with the Vikings, but I buy them more.
I could see Jordan Love going out and winning a couple playoff games more than I could see Sam Darnold doing so.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at.
I agree with you. And it's because I think Sam Darnold's had ever done it. And we're waiting to see if he can do it versus Jordan Love, who actually has been productive.
Yeah, had a really good playoff game last year in Dallas.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Kings and Grizzlies to talk about. We'll keep diving into Thursday Night Football, and we'll get to that Mike Brown sound where he challenged De'Aaron Fox and why I think it's a big deal that he did that. Plus, at 11 o'clock, Cam Inman, who covers the 49ers for the Bay Area News Group. He's also the author of the San Francisco 49ers, A Curated History of the Faithful. We will talk to him at 11 o'clock as well. Plenty of show coming? I don't know. We got plenty to get into.
That's right.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. Good thing I don't talk for a living. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
James Hamm is there. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and the Kings take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at FedEx Forum down in the great city of Memphis. The Kings enter the game at 10-12. The Grizzlies are 14-8. The Grizzlies were 8-7 and then won 6 in a row.
Ooh.
It's a fun fact. They just recently lost to the Dallas Mavericks. I love that the Kings are getting the Grizzlies in this specific spot where they just had to play a really kind of grimy style of game where they had to toughen up, frankly. Mm-hmm. They had to have a little fight. They had to have a little grit. And you come out of that game going, okay, is this a one-off? Did they just happen to play well enough to win and the Rockets didn't? Or was this the turning point? Was this, okay, hey, they got on the right track. We saw what the Kings are supposed to be. They saw what they're supposed to be, and now they can build off of that moving forward. This is a great matchup to find out because the Grizzlies are talented. Mm-hmm. They're very well coached. I think from that standpoint, they're probably better than Memphis, or excuse me, better than Houston at this point, just because they have more veterans. They've been around for a little bit longer. It's a different iteration of the Grizzlies than the ones who were going to the playoffs a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's largely still John Morant, it's still Desmond Bane, it's still Jaren Jackson Jr. Taylor Jenkins still there as the coach. I think it's going to be a tough matchup, but I love that we're going to get an opportunity to see right away, hey, was there some corner that they turned? Did they find something against Houston? Because they're going to get to test a lot of that same stuff tonight against Memphis.
Yeah, and Kyle, what I don't want the Kings to become is that team that gets up for the good teams and falls flat against bad teams. Like, they don't have time for that anymore. This is a moment where you have to be on an upward trajectory. There is no more climbing the mountain and taking some steps back. Like, you already took your big step back. Like, mm-hmm. you got up to base camp and then rolled back down the hill to the beginning of the mountain, and you got to climb back up to base camp because there's still a mountain to climb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where they're at as a team and as a group. And a team like Memphis is, I think it is like a perfect opponent for this team. Like, hey, you got to go out there and show you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't do is have that game and then another game against a San Antonio or another game against Portland where you just don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moment of not showing up to games is over. Like last year, again, we were able to circle 4 or 5 games. It's just like, hey, you should have won those games because those are the worst teams in the league. Mm-hmm. And then we had another bucket of like 5 games where you just missed free throws and you lost games. And this team could have easily won a 50 to 55 win team if they just took care of business.
Sure.
That's not who we're looking at right now. We're looking at a team that has been dysfunctional and lost way too many games already and way too many games against bad teams. So this is like a put up or shut up moment. You're a quarter of the way into the season. If you're not going to do it now, if you're not going to start gaining some momentum right now, and then you have all these home games in December, this season's over. I mean, look at January's schedule where you have like 6-7 game road trips, and you know it just gets worse and worse as you go throughout the season. This is a moment where if they're going to be a playoff team, and this is where they have to sort of stake their claim and climb out of the hole that they've been in.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. It's that consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it with individuals with the Kings too. You play really well one night and then you disappear for a couple nights. De'Aaron Fox, can you be great night in and night out?
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike Brown challenged De'Aaron Fox yesterday and said, "Hey, you need to find that edge every single night. It can't just be when someone makes you mad. You got to be mad every night."
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to see from the Kings moving forward here is the Rockets game was great. Love to see that W. Can you build off of it? Because if you go out and lose by 20 tonight, it feels like it undoes a lot of what happened against Houston because it turns the Houston game into, oh, it was just kind of a fluke.
Well, it's like when you beat Minnesota and then you turn around and you lose to Portland and San Antonio. Like, yep. It's fine to beat Minnesota. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice win.
And you're right there in the same tier as them. You should be, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But to go out and then lose 2 more games after that, that's where the unacceptable thing comes in. And you talk about De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox needs to find that thing that mm-hmm. makes him angry every game and makes him come out and play that way. But I'd also say Kevin Huerter needs to be that guy off the bench.
That's exactly right.
And Keegan Murray needs to be that guy who didn't hesitate at all and shot 3 of 5 from three. And Malik Monk needs to be a guy who averages 17 points. He doesn't have to have 12 assists every night, but hey, 6, 7, 8 assists? Yeah, that should be who you are. Just go down the list, and all of these players should be living up to whatever they put up against the Rockets. That should be a standard that they're looking, and it's not just the numbers. Mm-hmm. It's the way you played.
Yep.
It's the way that you came out, and you got punched in the face a couple of times, but you kept fighting.
Yep.
And next thing you know, you're the one who's punching. You're the one who kept your composure. Mm-hmm. You're the one who comes out on top. And that's what they have to start aspiring to be, is that group that we saw against the Rockets.
Yeah, and getting a win in Memphis would be a big step toward that tonight. Is Memphis better than you thought they'd be? Memphis is a little better than I thought they'd be.
No, I mean, like, look, they're going to win some games. They're going to be streaky here and there. But, again, Ja Morant has to prove he can stay on the court. Now he's not dunking anymore. That's one of the things he said he's cutting down on dunks because he keeps getting hurt. He's going to do more layups and below the rim stuff. That's going to change his game. It's going to make him a lot less dynamic if that's who he's going to be. I think they're good right now. And it's kind of where I kept bringing them up in the conversation, mm-hmm. but I don't know how sustainable they are for an 82 game season.
Interesting. Hmm. They're pretty, not significantly better than I thought they'd be, but 14-8 after 22. Just the fact that, and they've missed Ja Morant for some of those. Zach Edey he's been out for a while now.
Yeah.
But they're getting contributions from guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. He's been really good. Like Jay Huff, just out of nowhere, just comes in and plays really well as a reserve center. I did not think that they could be, or they would be a playoff team coming into the year. And after the first 22 games, I kind of think they could be a top six team.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think they're at worst a play-in team. It's early and we can't keep saying that it's early. Is it? I know, but
December 25th,
we're going to have to see what these teams look like. Not only then, but like the sprint to the finish line, do they have the horses? Because the problem that Memphis has is the players they're relying on to be great and to carry them all the way through. They don't play 82, and mm-hmm. we already saw Ja Morant. He missed 8 games. Jaren Jackson Jr. hasn't had his stint where he goes on the IR yet. We haven't mm-hmm. seen Desmond Bane get hurt yet. Marcus Smart is an injury-prone player. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of players like that that miss 15, 20 games a year, and I'm not sure that they're built to withstand all of that
sure.
for an entire season.
Sure. 14-8 to start the year. Here's what it's going to look like to start for the Kings tonight. We know the new starting five, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis for Sacramento. For the Grizzlies, looking like Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jalen Wells, the rookie from Sacramento, Brandon Clark, and Jaren Jackson Jr. It's a good starting five. Shout out to Jalen Wells, man.
Mm,
39th overall pick.
Sacramento.
Played really well.
Yeah, Sacramento zone.
Yeah,
he's been really good.
Him and Jared McCain.
Yeah.
The injury report. Nothing new for the Kings. Trey Lyles with the calf is out. Devin Carter with his shoulder is out. For Memphis, Zach Edey, the 7'12" rookie, he is out with an ankle injury. Don't love that for him early in his career. GG Jackson injured his foot. He's out for several months. Vince Williams Jr. also out with an ankle injury. The matchup of the game is an easy one for me.
I think it's an easy one for me too.
It's De'Aaron Fox and Ja Morant.
Of course.
That's it.
Yeah, I think it's prime time. It's what everyone wants to see.
And can this be, and this is another reason I think this is a good spot for Sacramento, is this is where, hey, you need motivation, you need that spark, you need to find something that's a chip on your shoulder. You don't even have to try that hard here.
Mm.
It's Ja Morant. This is a player that if you went across the country, anywhere outside of Sacramento, and said, who's a better player, Ja Morant or De'Aaron Fox? I guarantee the poll results outside of Sacramento are going to be like 75-25.
Probably.
For Ja.
Yep.
That is, kids want to wear Ja Morant shoes and Ja Morant jerseys, and he has gotten that hype that De'Aaron Fox has not.
And
that to me is all De'Aaron Fox needs. Go show that you're the better player.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, De'Aaron Fox is a better player.
I would agree.
And he's proven it, and he's a better...
And I like Ja Morant a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a huge Ja guy.
I
would take De'Aaron.
Ja is, he's gotten his own way this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think he can still be a great player. Yep. But he has fully got in his way repeatedly. And De'Aaron Fox is, he's never been a guy who's had off-court trouble or anything else. Like, he's been a model NBA citizen, and like the way that one of them is represented versus the other, as far as like the national thought of them, is very wild.
It is insane. But hey, when you go to the playoffs, was Ja rookie when they went to the playoffs? Is that his rookie year? And they got beat by Utah?
Maybe.
I don't remember. It was early in his career, though.
Yeah.
And he just got anointed. So unanoint him. That should be the thing that makes De'Aaron Fox mad tonight. We will continue discussing this because that's what they need. They need De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, they need him to be huge.
That is going to be the key for the Kings throughout this year. And we'll have keys to victory coming up for you. The Kings and Grizzlies tonight at 5 o'clock should be a good one. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll talk keys to victory coming up in a bit right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. I mentioned the Mike Brown challenging De'Aaron Fox, and I'm sure everybody has heard the sound by this point, but just in case, here's what it sounded like, video courtesy of the Kings Beat podcast's own Brendan Nunes. Here is what Mike Brown said about De'Aaron Fox, in case you have not heard it.
I love it, but I'm going to challenge you, De'Aaron Fox. You got to figure out how to get to that level without having somebody piss you off. Because you're a great player, and great players get to that level on their own, whether it's finding somebody to piss them off or finding something else. Maybe there's a five-year-old kid that has an opponent's jersey on and not yours. That should piss you off.
There's nothing you guys can do, right, as a team, on your end.
What's that?
There's nothing you guys can do, coach, teammates, on your end.
There's some things that we could do.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to try to do it.
Okay.
But as a great player, you got to take that upon yourself more than worry about other things. Now, if other things come along, great.
Yeah.
But you got to figure that out.
I think it's so fascinating that he said that out loud.
Yeah.
Because that, I don't know if that's a thing that you can instill in somebody. It feels, because I go back to the Legion of Boom Seahawks, a 2012, 2013, 2014, that era of Seahawks. You remember Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin? Those dudes, after every game, they could be favored by 20 points. And they could go win by 40. And they would come out of the game afterwards in the press and be like, yeah, we heard people talking about us. Nobody thought we'd win this game. In more colorful language than that. But it's like, wait, you're playing I forget who was bad then. You were playing Cleveland. Like, everybody thought you were going to win that game by a bunch, and you did. What are you talking about? But because one guy with 40 Twitter followers mentioned Doug Baldwin on Twitter and said, you suck, Doug Baldwin went, all right, I'm going to show that guy today.
Yeah.
And use that as like fuel. And I know that sounds like lunatic behavior. Like, who cares what rando with 40 Twitter followers says, right? Or whoever it is. Rando at the grocery store who you'll never see again.
Yep.
Whoever it was, they just like inherently like that was what they did. I wonder if it's something that you can inherently instill in somebody, or if De'Aaron Fox is just going to be the player that kind of throughout his career is awesome, but there's going to be however many games a year it is, 10, 15, 20, where something just really gets under his skin and he elevates to that like superstar level that we all expect him to get to on a regular basis.
Okay, so I want to point out a couple of things. Number one, De'Aaron Fox the other night he finished the game with like 22 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great game.
Really good game.
But it's not 45 points.
Sure.
And it's not 60.
Not even 60.
But I don't think anyone needs him to do that. It was the force and the energy and the defensive intensity that he played with that changed the feel of that game. And that's, I think, what Mike Brown is trying to talk about. And, like, look, Paul Westphal, talking about DeMarcus Cousins years ago, said, hey, it's easier to try to tame a fire than it is to try to light a fire under somebody.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's what we're talking about with Fox. It's a little different. What you're hoping for is that Fox finds that one little tiny uptick in his sort of intensity. that makes him angry. And like we talked about, angry fox is good fox.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we jokingly talked about it yesterday that I'm going to try to say something negative to him every day or kick him in the shin as on my way out of the locker room. And we got Mark Jones to say he would do the same thing on the road.
Shout out to Mark Jones.
And, you know, Mama Fox was in the chat and we're asking her if she could also be part of this. And, you know, like when...
Can you hurl insults at your son, please?
Can you just call your son and say he's not invited to Christmas? Like, you're not invited to Christmas.
That might just make him sad.
Yeah. Like... But, you know, there is that thing that you're hoping that he finds. And I do think that you can find it. I do think that, like, every year we've seen him level up to where he's a better player. And I don't know what we're expecting from him, just like this moment in every single game. But I'll tell you, when the chips were down in the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors, that was Superstar Fox. And so the intensity, it wasn't someone made him angry or anything else, just the intensity was there and we saw it. And then of course he broke his finger and there was all kinds of problems. But outside of that, I think that it's there and I think we will see more and more of it. But I also know that like you can't expect that from somebody every night. And if that's not who he is, if he does need to get angry in order to, you know, become that player, if he, you know, yesterday people were calling him David Banner in the chat.
Sure.
That makes a little bit of sense. You know, sometimes you need him to become Hulk.
You got to be always angry.
Yeah.
That's his secret.
I guess. But you don't want him to be always angry because that's not always what's needed. So I think either way, he's a great player. And he should be an all-NBA player the way he's playing right now. It's just whether or not you can get that next level out of him on every single night.
I think, I don't want to say all of, because it's not, they have too many good, effective NBA players to put it all on De'Aaron Fox.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of their success, in terms of kind of getting where they want to go, relies on this. And that's why it's such a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because this team, I think, is going to kind of go as De'Aaron goes. And if he finds that edge on a more regular basis, I don't want to say nightly, because you're not night to night. I don't think that's fair to ask. Some sickos like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan will find that every single night, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think asking any other player to do that is like, yeah, I think those guys are just wired a little different. But if he does, all of a sudden you're looking to me at a version of the Kings that is, even before we start talking about, oh, can they get a big to play next to Sabonis? Can they get more athletic on the wings? Even before any of that, like you level up a little bit if De'Aaron Fox is going to go be as effective as he was in that game against Houston.
Well, and I think, Kyle, the other ingredient that I'm going to point out is that when Fox leveled up, Keegan Murray leveled up, and Kevin Huerter leveled up.
Exactly.
And Malik Monk leveled
up. They are going to go as De'Aaron goes.
And Isaac Jones leveled up, and you started to see it. Sabonis leveled up. You saw them all take on the personality of their leader.
Yes. That's it.
And I guess it started before the game. Like, it started before the game. He was very vocal before the game, and then he was very vocal in the game, and then he was very vocal after the game. You hope that he's going to get that's probably what his group needs.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, like, if it's counter to his personality and if it's a struggle, it can't be disingenuous. It has to be real. It has to be authentic, or the guys around him will realize that as well.
Yeah.
It has to be authentic, and... So you're hoping that a light goes on here and that's who he becomes. But if it doesn't happen, like it doesn't mean he's not a great player.
I kind of think it's something the Kings as a unit need to start doing more.
Yeah.
Like just having that, I don't want to say they're passive, but it feels like a lot of times they're passive.
Mm-hmm.
Where like they just let the game happen to them instead of making the game happen. And the opposite of that occurred against Houston. And it has happened at other points too, but that was the first time this season in particular it's felt like oh they really care about this game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they really want this game. And you need to really want every game. You don't get to, you're not the Celtics. You don't get to just punt and go, call us in, we'll be over there in April. Like, we'll be there. Like, no, you're gonna want, you gotta go try and get every single game, every single night.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be the level of urgency that they found against Houston. De'Aaron Fox aside, that's the level of urgency the entire team needs, night in and night out. And if you win 15 games in a row and you are well clear of 500, and okay, you have a bad game, okay, fine. But right now, that kind of stuff just needs to be unacceptable.
Yeah.
I loved the urgency against Houston.
Yeah, I do too. And like, at some point, that's got to be who you are. Like, this is, we've been waiting for this team to arrive, and you saw an arrival moment with in the Rockets game.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's one day and that's, and you can't prove that that's who you are,
exactly.
That was just like,
exactly.
Then it just leaves us all knowing that you can be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we know you can be great, and the fact that you're not the rest of the time is really frustrating, and it's annoying, and it makes me think less of you, because if you've got that in you, then show me.
Yeah, it's why the start of the season's been so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of what we all expected this year. I had 51 wins. I expected more of that on a nightly basis, and we'll see if we get it moving forward.
Yeah, the team that showed up that night,
Memphis.
That team that showed up against Houston, that team would win 50-plus, and they would win a playoff series. They would win, like, everything that we've been talking about.
That was the maximized version of the team.
I said it yesterday.
It.
The only team in the league that I think beats you when you're playing that well is probably the Boston Celtics, and it's just because they shoot like 300 threes and you don't defend the three well enough and they hit a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and
Boston's a tough matchup for everybody.
They're a tough matchup. But outside of Boston, I don't think that there should be a just knockdown right in a loss for the Kings with the rest of the league. And the fact that they haven't played up to that standard right now, that's on them. It is. But that should still be the standard. There should not be another team in the league that you look at and say, oh, well, this is a loss.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to lose this game. And I don't know how many times now I walk into a game thinking, oh, they're probably going to lose tonight. And they need to get past that. They need to get to the point where every game is an expected win.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they've got that in them, but they need to find it.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I haven't even looked at what the spread tonight is in the point spread. Real quick, before we get out of here, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, well, formerly of ESPN, I'm so used to saying that. Woj told Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated that he has prostate cancer.
Mm.
And he said it's manageable, it's confined. He's going to go get it checked every however many months. He's going to have regular checkups, going to change his eating and sleeping habits and all this stuff to help manage it. He might need surgery at some point. But he said that it was part of his decision to leave ESPN. But he said another reason is that, and again, he told this to Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, that part of his decision to leave ESPN came after attending Chris Mortensen's funeral. Chris Mortensen, you remember, longtime NFL insider for ESPN, died of throat cancer. And Woj attends his funeral and realizes that, like, none of his other colleagues are there.
Mm.
And he told Chris Mannix, quote, "It made me remember that the job isn't everything. In the end, it's just going to be your family and close friends, and it's also like nobody gives an S. Nobody remembers breaking stories in the end. It's just vapor." And we all, like, speculated about, like, oh, man, why did he leave? Is it because of Shams? Is it this? Is it that? And the fact that my man just had a moment of clarity makes me feel like I'm rooting for him. I hope that he is cancer-free as soon as possible. The fact that that was why he dipped out makes me feel, like, good for him, dude.
Yeah.
Good for realizing that now. And it's sad that it had to come to that. But salute to Woj, man.
Yeah.
That's not an easy decision to make. And the fact that he went, hey, man.
All of this, it's not worth it.
It's all, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Woj. Again, you can read that in Sports Illustrated. Chris Mannix wrote that. All right. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group author of the San Francisco 49ers, A Curated History of the Faithful, is going to join us next. We're going to talk about his book, which is fascinating. I just started diving in last night. His book is fascinating. Get it for the 49ers fan on your Christmas list. We're going to talk to him about that. And then what's gone wrong this season and what does it look like moving forward? Can't wait to chat with Cam. Covered the 49ers for a long time. He will be joining us next on the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.